And so let's welcome to the podium this almost afternoon, all right, Pastor Andy Osakwe from Summit Bible Church, Abuja.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is anybody happy to be in the house of God? One more time, I want you to just please appreciate my friend, Apostle Boju, and his great woman of God wife. Amen? You don't know how to clap again. What's your problem? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because of time, I want to just go straight into the second part of what I began to share yesterday. But there's something I feel is always necessary, and that is the forces of God's kingdom. It is necessary that when we minister, when we teach, we release those forces. Because that's the realm we're talking about when the Bible says, thy kingdom come. And you know, the Bible says in Romans 14, 17, kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. In other words, it's not about natural events and just the natural things of this world. But it's about righteousness, peace, and what? I taught you something, you forgot already. Righteousness, peace, and the Bible talks about the joy of the Lord and says, this joy is full of glory. When you release this joy, one of the ways to release the joy of the Lord, you know, sometimes, you know, dancing in the spirit, you know, and then also, you know, laughing in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Sometimes when you want to laugh in the spirit, you start in the flesh. And then by faith, you enter the spirit. You understand my point? It's faith. So, you know, I just want us to do some exercise, small exercise, because I feel that something is already bubbling and just wants to release. Amen? So what I want us to do, sit down, just sit down. And then just for 1 minute, just be laughing. I will tell you when to stop. Laugh, your mouth has to open. Biko, don't do me like this. Laugh. Let it bubble. I didn't say smile. Just be laughing. As you're laughing, be moving your shoulders, your belly. Laugh so that the devil will be confused. He won't understand why are they laughing. After everything I've done against them, they are still laughing. And you are sitting down to laugh even to make it worse. You are just relaxing. No, sit down, relax. You are just relaxing and laughing as if you are not bothered. Somebody's been delivered. Somebody's been delivered. Somebody's answer will come before the end of this service. If your answer comes, how would you laugh? Hallelujah. You know, one of the signs of Hallelujah. You know, have you noticed that when people, at least some of you who used to drink, you understand what I'm saying? Now, have you noticed that, or you maybe you didn't drink, but you at least observe people. You notice that even people that are, you know, introverts, when they start drinking, at a certain level, they become extroverts. They lose inhibition. So that is a picture of liberty. But that is not real liberty. That's the fake one. So what happens when you are in the presence of the Holy Ghost is you lose inhibitions. Liberty sets in. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. And one of the first signs of liberty is laughter. You just chuckle. Amen. And when you're full of the Spirit, sometimes you'll just be laughing like if you are drunk. That's why they said they looked drunk. There was something they were doing. They were behaving like people that drank whiskey. But it wasn't a negative feeling. So I want you to learn how to laugh. Laugh easy. Someone say, I will laugh easy. We don't have to cajole you for you to laugh. Laughter is of the Spirit. When you connect with the Holy Ghost, laughter will bust loose. And it's full of glory. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This isn't my message. I just veered off the Lord. I went somewhere to minister to people, and there were sick people there. And I asked them to come forward to be laid hands on. And when they came, there were like 9 of them. And, you know, I was about to go and lay hands on them. And the Lord said, don't lay hands, just tell them to laugh. So that's exactly what I did. I told them to laugh. But the guy to my extreme left, his case was serious. He has been having this excruciating back pain for 9 years. So when I said laugh, he looked at me as if I want to torture him. And I didn't know. So I said laugh, he was like this. So out of just the reflex, I went in his direction. In other words, I know the Lord told me to tell them to laugh, but this guy is suffering. So I started walking towards him, and then suddenly he went like this. Hey! Hey! It has gone! It has gone! Then he now broke out into laughter. The rest of them broke out into the same laughter because of him. And everybody went home healed. I didn't touch him. He laughed his way into deliverance. Say amen, oh.
Amen.
There's something you will hear. Your first response must be laughter. Because you are to laugh in the face of destruction. You are to laugh in the face of calamity. When you laugh in the face of calamity, you confuse the devil. Hallelujah. Laughter is a weapon of warfare. That's why in Psalm 2, the Bible says, put Psalm 2 quickly. Psalm 2. Psalm 2 verse 1. Look at this. Psalm 2 verse 1. Give me the message translation. Psalm 2 verse 1. Why the big noise, nations? Why the mean plots, peoples? Next verse. Earth leaders push for position. Demagogues and delegates meet for summit talk. The God deniers, Messiah defiers. Let's get free of God. Cast loose. This is what's happening today. Cast loose from the Messiah. Next verse. heaven throne God breaks out laughing. Hallelujah. This, if you read the full story, you see that his laughter is a mockery of the plan, of the strategy and the agenda of Satan. God laughs at it. When you hear you are going to die, when you hear that word, laugh. Because as soon as you laugh, you block it. You understand what I'm saying? Laughter is a defense. Because the enemy says you're going to die. You're helping yourself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay, maybe we'll laugh at the end. But let me, praise the Lord. Quickly, go with me to Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and 1. Where's Benjamin? Where is he? Where's Benjamin? Just get ready. Benjamin, your time has come. I'm telling you, 2026 has your name on it, Benjamin. We spoke about the prerequisite to navigating effectively in the fifth dimension. I explained the fifth dimension yesterday. That's the realm of God himself. All other dimensions were created. So where was God when he was creating the first, second, third, and fourth dimensions? He was in his own dimension. And that's where he has brought us into by reason of the new birth. So now we have the nature that is able to move into that dimension and flow in that dimension. But we have to learn how to flow. So our nature is the nature of God. It's a divine nature. Our nature, one of the ways to describe our nature is the righteousness of God in Christ. Because God's nature has several facets. You have righteousness, you have light, you have life, you have faith. Faith is a nature. Praise the Lord. And then you have love. So when God made us his righteousness, that's the foundation of all every other nature. So God made us his own righteousness. So if there's a way to look into your spirit, what you will see is the righteousness of God. What you will see is a nature that is consistent with the nature of God. There's no difference. It's not a nature like God. It is the nature of God. Chimpanzees give birth to what? Monkeys give birth to what? Dogs give birth to what? Cows give birth to what? What has God given birth to? No, me talk more. You are the one. Praise the Lord. So the key is this. We have to adopt the right consciousness. We have to have the consciousness of our nature, who we are. Praise the Lord. To do that, you have to meditate on the right things. To have the right consciousness, you have to meditate on the right things. And that's what we see here in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 3 and 1. It says, if then you were raised, because we are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, not above you, because you were raised. So when it says above, it means above the earth. Not above you. Seek those things which are above the earth. You're going to see that soon. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Where's Christ sitting right now? Where are you sitting? With Christ. So he's not above you. He says, in other words, seek those things at your level. Next verse. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. He's talking realms. Go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1. Give me Passion Translation. Passion Translation. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Next verse. Yes, feast on all the treasures of what? The heavenly realm. That's the kingdom realm. And fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with distractions of the earthly realm. You have to be careful, because there are too many things competing for your attention. So it is possible to strain your mind and begin to focus on something that doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. We have to focus on the realities. The kingdom of God. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Seek ye first what? And what? These are all things of the fifth dimension. It says, seek those things first, and all these things shall be added to you. Everything else will connect. If you seek first the kingdom of God and then his righteousness. So we're to seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness, the peace of God, divine joy, divine life, divine light, his will and plan for us, his wisdom for our daily life and victory. We're to seek these things. And as we seek these things, it will now regulate our lives on the earth. You will start to be victorious on the earth because of the kind of mindset that you have. It's called the mind of Christ. When you meditate on these things, you adopt the mind of Christ. You are to live on earth with the mind of Christ. And that's how you have victory over Satan and the strategies of Satan. It's the mindset. Listen, guys, everything is about mindset. You win based on mindset. You lose based on mindset. The man that stands the test of time, check him out. It's not physical strength. It is mindset. His mind is made up. His mind is made up. His mind is consistent with the will of God, with the mind of God, and he will not change. The mind of Christ. Somebody says, I have the mind of Christ. So the key is meditation. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:34 quickly. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Hallelujah. Awake to righteousness. And what's next? Do not sin. This is how you fix sin. You don't struggle in the flesh to fix sin. You change your consciousness. Awake to righteousness means you are now conscious of God's righteousness. It's now a mindset. Then sin will stop. You won't struggle with sin once you have awakened to righteousness. Say amen. Amen. Sin is substandard. Righteousness is God's standard. So if you fill your mind with God's standard, you will find it will not be, that engagement with that substandard level becomes a difficulty. Say amen. Amen. There's some things I don't do anymore. Not because I was so powerful. I just realized after a while, my mind was no longer on that level. Praise the Lord. So when I see people doing it, I'm like, wow, they just need to change the way they think. And when you start having the right consciousness, this is where I need Benjamin. Benjamin, bring two other guys like you. Just about the same height. And that guy's too tall. Just two more. Just bring two more. Yeah? We'll manage this guy here. Bring another one. Okay. Wonderful. So let me tell you what's going to happen now. You have this right consciousness. Okay. Let me start with Benjamin. So Benjamin gave his life to Christ. And as soon as he gave his life to Christ, he became the righteousness of God in Christ. Listen, he did not earn it. It was not by works. It wasn't because he did so well. He received it. It was a gift. Bible, Romans 5:17 talks about the gift of righteousness. You receive that gift by faith. And that gift is actually an impartation of the Holy Ghost. So once I give my life to Christ, I receive an impartation of righteousness into the recreated spirit. I receive an impartation of righteousness. I become righteous. Not by works, but by faith. I become righteous. It doesn't mean I'm living right. But it means I now have the capacity to live right. But I still have to make a choice to live right. Are you with me here?
So being the righteousness of God is not the end. Hallelujah. So now he's God's own righteousness. Now he should sing about it, dance about it, shout about it, but not stop there. If he stops there, after a while, he'll get frustrated, and he can even bring reproach to the name of Christ and be shouting, I'm God's righteousness. Because he didn't venture into the next phase. Now, righteousness is similar to right living, but it's not the same thing. It is the basis of living right. So now you have him here. Let's assume these three people are the same. That's why I said the same height, the same people, just different stages. So what you have here is he's now God's own righteousness. Then at this phase here, at this phase is when he's now living right. Say amen. Amen. Living right is a lot of things. It's not just morality. Amen? It is living right. For instance, sickness is not right. Oppression is not right. Poverty is not right. Failure is not right. Lying is not right. Say amen. Amen. Stealing is not right. Yesterday, I asked for the thieves to raise their hands. How many of you raised your hands yesterday? So now this is right living, and this is righteousness. But there's something in between. Without this one, he cannot end up there. This one here is right consciousness. This is when his mind is in agreement with God's word. He starts to believe it. I am. One day he wakes up and realizes, do you know I am God's righteousness in Christ? I am God's righteousness. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. Stop that language. It's bad. You're either righteous or you are a sinner. You can't be both. Listen, you used to be a sinner. Then you got saved. Now you are saved. Now you are a saint. Do you know now you are a saint? You don't believe me now because you think sainthood is by works. A saint is simply one who has become the righteousness of God in Christ. I am God's own righteousness. I am a saint. You don't have to die to be a saint. Saint is a short form for sanctified, separated unto Christ. Somebody say, I'm a saint. Put your name there. Say, saint. Say it two more times for your own sake. Say it. Next time we ask you, what's your name? Say, I'm Saint Andrew. Or Saint, whatever your name is. Even if it's a native name, no problem. Saint Bola. Hallelujah. Saint Chukwudi. Say amen. But this is the key here. Meditation. He has to meditate on this reality. And then it becomes his consciousness. Then once it's his consciousness, living right is no longer a problem. Because as a man thinketh, so he is. You are now just living according to your consciousness. That's what Christianity is. First, he makes you something. Then he gives you his word to renew your mind. And then your consciousness will change. Then you start walking according to who you are. You become righteous first before you live it. You don't work for it to become it. You become it and then you live it because you are it. I am preaching better than your amen. Kai. Is somebody still here? So you start from the end. He makes you righteous. Then he gives you his word. You change your thinking. And then you start living right. Then there's no struggle. Say amen.
Amen.
Clap your hands for Benjamin and Co. Praise the Lord. Are you getting my point? All right, so once you get to that point, right living, right? You start speaking. You start speaking. Because once your consciousness is full of something, it will leak. You can't even help it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaks. You will just find yourself saying something because you've been thinking about it long enough. As I keep watching all these home videos, after a while you start saying some things.
It will slip out. So be careful what you put in, because garbage in, garbage out. Say amen. You know, something happened to me about 2022. The Lord began to deal with me to go and start a church in Houston, Texas. You know, but I struggled because I wasn't sure. I've done something like that before. You know, that was some years ago, but I didn't think the Lord would get me to do it again, to actually leave and go and start a church. So I struggled. So I kind of held back. Maybe this is not God. So I had 2022. 2023, I started getting stronger. 2024, it was so strong. I had to go and pray. I had to seek God. And I had that witness in me that this is a strategic part of the overall ministry. So I moved. Now here's the problem. I didn't really move because my heart was not really fully settled. So I would travel and go. I was using regular visa. And of course, you know how it is. You're starting a walk there, but you're using a regular visa. It's against the law. So one time I got to the airport and they held me. They kept me for 2 hours. Now, God has been telling me to file for green card, but I didn't because it seemed so complicated. So I now began to, you know, so when I traveled, so I got to this point, they took me into one room like that and began to interrogate me. And those guys are tough. Man, if you are not strong inside, you will just be lying. And when you start lying, they will be catching you more. Because they have all the information. They are looking at the information in the computer and they're asking you. So I was sweating. Here and here. Those are signs. Praise the Lord. So I did answer everything, you know. There was really nothing. I didn't, you know. So when I finished, I packed everything. So as I was going, call me back, said, "Do you know why we stopped you?" I said, "No." He says, "Because between January and March, you've flown into this country 3 times. What are you doing here?" That's when I knew I had a problem. So I got back and told my wife, I said, "You know what? We have to file for a green card." So we began the process. Before you get all your papers together, it takes a while. So sometime around July, ending of July, we're able to formally file. So, you know how it is, you hear different kinds of stories. So I was expecting that because official time says 60 days. So I was expecting after 60 days, we'll get the green card. So I started hearing testimonies. People have been in here for 4 years, waiting for green card. I said, "I have a church here." And then we had a conference coming up in October. I said, "No, this is not the plan." Asked somebody else, they said, the lawyer was trying to be very encouraging. I said, well, you know, give or take, but I'm sure it can happen. I said, "Happen when?" So she went and called the immigration officials and asked them. And they said that they wouldn't even look at my papers until the next year. That's when they would look at my papers. I said, "No." I went to God, I said, "God, I can't do this. This is not what we agreed." I prayed, I said, "Lord, what do I do?" The Lord told me to trust him that I will come for the conference. That's what he told me. Conference, when is the conference? 3 months away. So what did I do? One of the things I've learned how to do is how to speak from the fifth dimension. You declare it. As long as you have settled with God, you impose it. From the fifth dimension, you impose on the fourth, the third, the second, and the third. And the first, sorry. You impose the word of God. So I began to say, "I will come back for the conference. I don't know how." Because thou to come, you have to cancel that. "I don't know how, but I know I will come back." Then some weeks ago, I will call the lawyer. "How far?" The lawyer will say, it's not, they've told us, they said that they've told us that we should wait till they start looking at papers next year. Praise the Lord. So I did. So we continued. Sometimes I feel down. I feel like it's not going to happen. Then I wake up again. I will come to the conference. I will get my green card. By the time of before our conference, I will come for the conference. Sometimes my voice is weaker. Sometimes my voice is higher. But I kept listening to the word. You have to be careful what you hear around those times when you are contending for something. Be careful what you listen to. It's a fight of faith. Listen, continue like this. I just continued. 1 week to the conference, I was still speaking. Hallelujah. Then the Lord told me to do something. The Lord says, pack your stuff. Go for that conference. Before the conference, you'll get it. My courage did not reach that level. I regret to tell you I disobeyed God. Because I imagine I will go for a conference, then they will hold me back. My family is here. What am I doing? I have church there. We started. They will be asking me, Pastor, what's happening? You brought us together. Where are you? Are you coming back? So my heart wasn't strong. Do you know what happened? Monday, the conference starts on Wednesday. Monday, the lawyer is shocked. She called me and says, I don't understand this. We just received a text that your green card is approved. This Monday. Sorry. Monday after the conference. Not before, after the conference, Monday. That's approved. The next day, to her shock, they sent the green cards. So I looked at it. Then I asked, I said, when was it approved? She said, she's not sure. I went back online and checked. This green card was approved 2 days before the conference. So if I had gone, like God said, go, they would have gotten it and sent it to me. All this is because I began to speak based on my agreement with God. Listen, learn to speak to everything. This is fifth dimensional operation. You must be talking. No matter what a doctor says, you have your own talk. Hallelujah. You don't have to disrespect the doctors, but once you leave that place, go and sit in your car and cancel everything he has said. Amen. Now, let me say this. I have a few minutes. This right consciousness is very important. But there's something that's more important than this right consciousness. Which, if you don't settle this matter, you can become a person of right consciousness, but you can become arrogant about your righteousness. You can become so conscious, if you don't understand this other part, that you become so arrogant that God cannot use you anymore. You are just a righteous person, but you're useless. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And this is found in Matthew 6 and 9. Let's go back there. Matthew 6 and 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, we have to separate and venerate his name. What is this? This is called honor. Without honor, put the scripture back, let me show you. Without activating honor, every other revelation you have is shortchanged. When it comes to the kingdom of God, notice the first thing he said. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Next verse. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what will keep you grounded. It's called honor. Somebody say honor. Honor is a value system. Honor means that we give God his place. Hallowed be your name. That means give God his place. And God's place is first place. God's place is what? Highest place. And God's place is best place. Did you hear what I said? Don't get mistaken. God's place is always what? First place, highest place, and best place. How do I honor a God I cannot see? Number one, you honor his word. One of the ways to honor God's word is just believe it. And if God speaks to you, believe it. Just believe it. Don't argue. Even if it doesn't make sense, believe it. So you honor God by honoring his word, his spirit, his perfect will, his people. God will place people over you. You are to honor them. Say amen. In other words, treat them as if they have value. And then you honor his work. If you're walking around and you see a piece of tissue on the floor outside somewhere, pick it up and put it in the trash. Because you honor God's work. Say amen. Are you here with me, somebody? The law of honor is simple. If you honor him, he will honor you. If you dishonor him, he cannot honor you. And this law is found in 1 Samuel 2 and 30. Dishonor is why Lucifer and a third of the angels were kicked out of heaven. Dishonor. They left the fifth dimension because they dishonored God. Dishonor is the original sin, not disobedience. Disobedience took place because they dishonored God's word. God said, don't eat this one. They ate it. That's dishonor. Dishonor was the reason for the failure of the first marriage. The first marriage failed, and that's why we're where we are today. Because they dishonored God's word. Give me a husband and his wife and teach them honor. If they honor God, they will not get divorced. Amen? The reason for divorce is dishonor. Somebody had to dishonor God. Say amen. And so dishonor was the reason. Notice that Satan convinced Eve, right? Adam was standing there. Adam knew what God said. He knew. No doubts. Yet he kept quiet. Satan said, did God really say that this? She said, yeah, God said so, so, and so, and so. Then he now said to Eve, even if you do it, in other words, he now went against the integrity of God's word. You will eat this fruit and you will not die. That's what he was saying. So he's a master of dishonor, Satan. He knows how to deceive people into living a lifestyle that dishonors God. And that's the problem we're having in today's church and today's world. Dishonor. We're dishonoring too much. Online, people go online and dishonor. Somebody has been before you on the earth preaching the message for 50 years. You started 2 years ago. Went online and you feel you have the capacity to go and insult that person because of a doctrinal difference. How stupid can you be? This is dishonor. And it's weakening the fabric of the body of Christ. This everywhere, just talking nonsense. Even if somebody made an error, who are you? Say amen. Amen. Holy Ghost FBI. Amen. This honor is the reason why the first man, Adam, lost custody of the fifth dimension. He lost custody of the kingdom because he was right there. He said nothing. The wife took of it, ate of it, gave it to him, and he knew what God said, and he ate it. Dishonor caused disobedience. Man fell. Amen. Now, the first step in honoring God is called the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And this is a good message for us to begin to wrap up Wolfbeck. We have to use fear. This fear is not the fear of Satan. It's not tormenting fear. This fear is called reverence. Reverence. I think the contemporary church is losing the place of reverence. Amen.
In those days, when we went to church, when you enter church, you know you have entered church. Even yourself, you have reverence. Today, there's a missing element, and it's affecting the lifestyle. Say amen. Amen. Say amen or say oh me. It is still so. Isaiah 11, 1 to 3, I won't read the whole thing, but it talks about the fear of the Lord being an anointing. It's an anointing. This anointing is provoked by decision. You make a decision to fear God. And then, revelation of the fear of God. That's why we're to teach our children about the fear of God. They have a revelation of God. You see, there's the goodness of God, but there's also the severity of God, and both are balanced. The same God who does good will consume. He's a consuming fire. He consumes evil. He's a just God. Say amen. Amen. I know you will not shout. Oh. Amen. Even that amen you just did now doesn't really sound. Amen. Amen. The lack of fear of God makes us callous. The lack of fear of God is responsible for long-term bad character, long-term corruption, long-term perversion, long-term wickedness, long-term sinfulness. You come to church on Sunday and you visited Badababalawo on Monday. Why? You don't fear God. This is why Christians sleep around anyhow, because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You see the problem? Because you didn't study the path of honor, which is foundation. So now you are using God's righteousness to justify your sin. This is why Christians in government steal. You are in the government, God gave you a position. Instead of going there to carry out God's agenda, you went to steal. I'm leaving this afternoon. So by the time you start firing shots, it's Pastor Bodju you will meet here. Say amen. This is why it's so easy to get divorced. Small thing, bam, divorce. Divorce lawyers are making money now because of the dishonor, the lack of fear of God. We have small problem, we go to the lawyers. When God told us to settle among ourselves. This is why ministers fake miracles. Honestly, I didn't believe it before. I saw it firsthand. I saw a minister was faking miracles. He went and brought people. And the people were acting. Ha! You know, I was struggling to believe it. But the way God does, I happened when I went, after the service, I went upstairs to do something. And I came out and I saw the guy that was giving the testimony. He didn't know I was there. He was in his empty space upstairs, talking with somebody, just laughing and discussing what happened. And God allowed me to hear it. Hey! We should not be too naive in this world, though. Hallelujah. Ah. So they paid people and brought people and they're faking miracles. For what? Does God not do miracles? Why do we need to go and fake it? Lack of fear. We don't fear God, though. Hey. This is why Christians lie. Lying now is not a big deal. In our society now, in Nigeria, lying is wisdom. Are you still here with me? It's wisdom. Which wisdom is it? Wisdom of God or the wisdom of this world? You see what I'm saying? Someone say fear. Someone say it's time for fear to come back. It's time for the anointing of fear to come back. So when we start to make that decision to fear God, and that critical mass begins to increase. What you're going to find in every church, you'll find this is the highest level in my understanding, right? The seven dimensions of God's anointing, the highest is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. You will notice that anointing will come down. And that's when you find the greatest glory. Because that's the fifth dimension has come to settle. Amen. Acts 4, verse 29. Acts 4:29. Lord, look on the threats. Grant to your servants who are with all boldness they may speak your word. Because they threaten them not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus, or they're going to arrest them. So they came back and began to pray. And said, Lord, look at what their threats are. Grant us boldness. Next verse. Stretch out your hand to heal. Signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They didn't pray for a way of escape. They prayed for boldness. Next verse. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The anointing came so strong, they began to flow in the fifth dimension. But they didn't realize something. This greater glory, it can come at a cost. That's why sometimes God holds back the greater glory. He will give you small, because he notices the lifestyle among the people. When you go into the greater glory, people can start dying. Acts 5:11. Don't forget, the greater glory is now flowing. Somebody has been lying before, lying. But now he doesn't know the glory is different. The dimension we are in now is not the same. So Acts 5, verse 11. You know what happened here? Ananias came. Peter asked him a question. He lied. It wasn't the money or the offering. It was the lying to the man of God or the person in authority who represented God. That's why Paul says, you have not lied to me, you have lied to the Holy Ghost. He lied. So those young men took his body, went outside to bury him. That must have been a very interesting service. As they're carrying his body to bury him. You know how young men discuss? Bros, waiting to happen. No? We have never seen this kind of thing before. They went and buried him. 3 hours after, they came back. The wife was dead. She lied the same lie. Because they're so used to lying, they did not realize we have crossed over into a greater glory. Lying is no longer tolerated. Say amen.
Amen.
So you know what happened? The young man came back only to find the wife dead. Hey, why is Peter? Is this like this is a killing service? Peter is killing people. I carried the wife. I went to bury. Then look at this. Go to verse 11. Once that happened, look what happened. So great fear came upon all the church. So the church were not operating in fear. They were just using, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. They didn't have fear for God. And then when that fear came, it spread around the community upon all those who had such things. Next verse. Look at the next verse. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Next verse. Yet none of the rest dared join them. Who are the rest? Those who didn't have the fear of God began to draw back. They knew there's something about these people. You cannot enter this place and be living anyhow. Say amen.
Amen.
But the people what? Esteemed them highly. Respect came back. Respect is coming back to the body of Christ. I said respect is coming back to the body of Christ. But it will come on the altars of the fear of God. If we don't fear God, how would they fear God? Look at our politicians. Do they fear God? No. You heard yesterday what happened. Somebody's using Python to paralyze the president. People do all kinds of works in those places. There's a level of glory that will manifest. Somebody will be afraid of bringing a Python because they themselves might turn into Python. Say amen.
Amen.
Scripture. People esteem them highly. Next verse. Believers were increasingly added to the Lord. This is revival. Multitudes of both men and women. Next verse. So that they brought the sick out into the streets. So much glory. They brought the sick out into the streets. Laid them on beds and couches that at least a shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Why? They've reached that dimension. Fear has come. Not torment. Respect for God. Understanding the goodness and the severity of God. Next verse. multitude gathered from surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people. All the surrounding cities began to bring sick people. Those who were tormented by unclean spirits. And how many were healed? Because of what? The fear of the Lord. Are you with me? Quickly. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5. Let's just read quickly. I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with the excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Next verse. Watch this. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Next verse. I was with you in what? Weakness. In what? Fear and much trembling. When I read this, the Lord said to me, whatever happened to the lifestyle of fear and trembling? The Lord said to me, it separated the early church from this church. The lifestyle of fear and trembling doesn't mean you're afraid of the devil. It means you fear God. Say amen. Amen. Psalm 2 verse 11, quickly. Psalm 2 verse 11. Save the Lord with what? Fear. Rejoice with what? Ephesians 6, 5. Ephesians 6, 5. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to flesh with fear and trembling. It says, when you want to respect your elders, do so with fear and trembling. Don't talk recklessly. Philippians 2, 12, quickly. Philippians 2, 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, now, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation. How? The Lord said to me, what happened to fear and trembling? When do we get so sophisticated in our doctrine that we left aside what God considers foundation? Fear and trembling. There's some things I cannot do because of fear of God. How? Amen? I cannot maltreat my wife because I'm afraid of God. Say amen, no. Yeah. Now listen, go back to that 12. I'm closing. That 12, go back to 12 quickly. Work out your salvation, your own salvation with fear and trembling. Next verse, watch this. For it is God who works in you. In other words, this fear and trembling is being worked in you by the Holy Ghost. It is God who works you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. So this fear and trembling, when you yield to the Holy Ghost, He will take you to the place of fear and trembling. Where you have respect for the things of God. Respect for God. You are no longer careless. Proverbs 8 and 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. Now let me tell you a story quickly as I close. My time is up. Many years ago, I went to, now first of all, I had a testimony about a guy and a girl, right, in a church in Shagamo, and they went there, and while the church was on, they went and were having sex in the bathroom, and so somebody walked into the bathroom, and they heard the person walking into the bathroom, and the person was one because of the sounds they were hearing. So one of them, the song they were singing in the church was, the God that answered by fire, let him be my God. So when this guy walked into the bathroom, this woman walked in the bathroom and heard some sound, she froze. And they knew that this woman must have noticed something. So one of them began to sing, one of them. The God that answered by fire, let him be my God. The God that answered by fire. And then this is what I heard from a reliable source. It says, fire came and consumed both of them. And they died. And the church came and saw it. And great fear. May it not happen to us that something will happen like this, for us to have great fear. There are two ways to get great fear. Just choose it. Not that somebody will just die. Because we're entering another dimension. If we don't watch it, people start dying.
It's true.
This is Ananias, Sapphira. Is it not New Testament? So I was going to a visa interview. I don't know, this was a long time ago. This must have been like maybe 19, I don't know, very early. I was just going for a visa interview. And what happened, okay, was after I'd come back from Tulsa, because I lived in Tulsa for 2 years. So we had a child in Tulsa. And when we had that child, I applied for a special benefit because we didn't have the money to pay, the money they were asking for. So I applied for a special, somebody told me to advise me and told me to apply for that benefit. So I applied. I didn't know that that letter would go to somebody in that healthcare system who was a Nigerian and also a pastor. So anyway, we got it. He called me and sent for me, came. I was so happy to see my brother. Told me I shouldn't wonder what I applied for is not the right thing. Told me what to apply for. So I applied for it. So they granted it to us. They sent us the bill and they wrote, what you owe the government is 0.0000. I was happy. I didn't know that the embassy here does not like that kind of thing. It doesn't matter what happens there, it's here. So what happened was, eventually when I got back here and I noticed, every time I go to the embassy, I'll be having problems. So I sent that for that guy. I said, listen, this is what's happening. Can you help me out? So he wrote me a letter from their office that said that I paid. They were saying, ow. That is how it was, though. He wrote me a very powerful letter. When I got that letter, I was afraid. I would look at that letter, start shaking. And another voice told me, just go now, go to the embassy. Just show them this thing. This letter is from the Department of Health Services. It shows that this was the amount and that you paid for it. This amount. So I took it to the embassy. I regret to tell you I took it to the embassy. I sat down. My heart was beating. Somebody came and sat next to me. I was going to the same embassy, the same place I was going. Opened one small book like that. I looked at the cover of the book. How to Avoid Lying. What kind of coincidence is that? How to Avoid Lying. Something like, what to do to avoid lying? I said, yay. Oh. I looked at that paper. I brought the paper out. I said, if I go now, what will I tell them? That I didn't pay? But when every time I looked up, the man is still sitting in his book, and the man was looking at the book as if, So I took my envelope, my letter, my powerful letter, and put it inside the briefcase. And I went there. And they asked me this. When they found out I had a child, they said, did you pay for this child's birth? I said, no. The man looked at me. You didn't pay? I did not pay. What happened? We had a child there. I applied for special benefit, and they took care, the government took care of all the bills. She reminded me, the American government took care of all the bills. I said, yes. She told me, listen, I'm going to give you this visa because you told the truth. I'm serious. She told me, listen, next time, don't apply for such things. It is at the taxpayer's expense. She says, next time you want to, she took time, explain to me. I didn't hear most of what she said because my mind was like, you mean? Because I was sure that this visa is gone. And that was how I got that. I took the visa. I didn't know whether to jump or shout. You know, that kind of thing. Have you been to heaven or what is this? When I went back and told my wife, she was shocked. I took that letter. I destroyed it. Listen, guys, there's something about the fear of the Lord for these last days. Amen? I don't know what your situation is. I'm done. But I want
Your heads to bow, please, bow your heads. Maybe there's somebody here. You want to just repent. You want to repent of this. Maybe there's a lifestyle you have entered. And now you realize it's a lack of fear. And this thing can disturb me. If you fit that description, while heads are bowed, lift up your hand. I want to pray for you. Anywhere you are. Lift up your hands. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for everyone on the sound of my voice. I ask for the spirit of repentance to change the ways. Those watching online, in this new season, help us. Help us to adopt the lifestyle that is founded on the fear of the Lord. Even as we approach with the consciousness of righteousness. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.